Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Final hour of the show before we turn things over to the G-Bag Nation, who Kevin is furious with, right? Broadus is here, dude.
I knew Broadus would be here.
Broadus is right there. Oh, there goes my water.
You can depend on Broadus to show up.
So you hate me and Mike then for everything that we did during the COVID
No,
times.
Because that was planned out. I just think this is half-assed today.
God. I just wish that was your pickle you knocked over. What was the thing you said about your pickle one time?
My pickle leaked, yeah. It was a weird situation. We got the audio somewhere. It's,
oh, my God.
It's a really funny joke because I was like, oh, my pickle leaked. It was just water this time. All right, and it was all over my notes for how to hook up my thing for tomorrow.
Your so Comrex.
This is not good. Look, Ruben, I need another printout.
And it's totally C-block fine, bad. But just if you don't need to do the show from your house, I think it makes the show worse, and I think you should show up.
Whatever. All right, Kevin, this is, you know what? I want to peel
this
back.
This is your time.
I want to peel back the curtain here. We've seen how the C-block can go when we just get off the rails. When Kevin and I worked together,
I said rails.
When Kevin and I worked together, he would always give me, because he was the editor, and he would always give me this like, should you make that one more phone call though? And I'd be like, ugh. And everybody in the office knew that Kevin would ask you, should you, hey, for this $8 an hour that you're making at this newspaper, shouldn't you go really work hard for it? I'd be like, no. But it's also that it was good to have that there because I needed somebody like that. But I made this sign that said Kevin is he's a taskmaster.
Mm.
And I hung it up on his cubicle, and he wrote on it, get back to work sign. And I was like, good God, this guy. So that's just the way.
Because what happens if you don't, you turn into the Raiders GM and you get fired.
Raiders GM just was announced as fired. And,
because I bet he didn't make that one more phone call.
That's an interesting... I'm very interested in what's going on there because Tom Brady talks to Belichick. Belichick is kind of... Is he kind of masterminding some stuff with Tom Brady there? And you know what, Brady? You're not going to expect much less of him than to say, I have to be the best, right?
Hold on. So you think maybe Tom brought this up and their GM was like, we're not doing that. And Tom goes, the hell we're not.
Well, that's okay that you say that. Bill told me to fire you anyway.
Okay.
It was nice working with you.
I can't rule it out.
The Raiders did just fire their GM. And then from 3-2-1, wow, Kevin just said COVID was planned. All right. So we're
going
when we planned what we did last time.
That's not what I meant, but
the first annual KNC Masterpiece Rookie Awards is what we are about to throw out there. Yes, Mike.
Okay, I'm interested.
Does the word first annual throw you off a little bit? Always threw me off.
I didn't know where we were going here. I was texting Derek Holland.
I put this together. I was trying to have some fun with it last night as I was looking. Every year NFL.com did the their rookie rankings this year. And as I was looking through it, I was like, well, that's fun, but boring. So how can we make it a little bit more fun? So I said, let's roll out a little bit of this. The future quarterback duel of the century.
Mm.
I have down as Bo Nix versus Drake May. That this year we saw two quarterbacks. I think Bo Nix got the better of it because he was in a better situation. Coaching does matter. And Drake May, he's talented. I think that we might see those two in a couple of playoffs down the road.
Okay.
And I thought that one was a fun one.
And if I said Bo Nix versus Joe Milton, would you get mad at me?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Okay. It's an intriguing story. I like it. The expected more from award, Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think there's a consensus on that.
Fair.
Especially for people that drafted him in fantasy, they expected more.
Can I ask you a quick question? I hope this isn't thrown off too much. How much do you think the stats and players of fantasy football has thrown off a reality. Perception of what really happens in football or really matters.
I think it does a great job of getting people to engage with more than just their team.
Yeah.
Because now you're watching other things. You're keeping in touch with other guys that are in the league. But I do understand that where you're like, no, he was great. And you're like, was he though?
Yeah.
Or did he just, like, there's a Tennessee receiver that had, what, 30 catches and like half of them were touchdowns. And you're like, huh? Was he great? Or was like that one, those times that he got thrown the ball? But I thought you were going to go in a different direction. Mike probably did not watch a lot of Arizona Cardinals football this year. You probably
didn't. Nope.
Yeah. Kevin, you probably did not watch a lot of Arizona
Cardinals. That's fair to say.
I didn't either. And I can't say, like, I had it on Red Zone, but they didn't, even Red Zone was like, we got to ignore this game most of the time. I don't know how much of it was Marvin Harrison Jr.'s fault. If you have a better theory on it out there and you watched all the Cardinals football, congratulations. Let me know. But I don't know how much of it was his fault and how much of it was the Cardinals are still kind of a mess and they're trying to figure their lives out. The 10-year offensive lineman award. I'm going to throw it out to Joe Alt. Joe Alt was an easy, like, that dude's going to be great. When you watched him on film last year, you're just like, just put him in the Hall of Fame right now almost. Like, you kind of did that. And how great was the Chargers draft?
It really was.
This year. But then you add that to, they have, their offensive line looks like it can be very good. It can be very good for a while, and that should help out Justin Herbert a lot. It should also help out their running game, which they just kind of pieced together. They were like, let's go get all the running backs that used to play for the Ravens and just throw those guys out there and see how it works. So it could be very effective for them. But Joe Alt gets the future 10-year offensive lineman award.
I like it.
The best name plus talent. So they're talented and have the coolest name.
Cooper Beebe.
Cooper Beebe is a cool name. But does it top Chop Robinson?
No.
Chop Robinson is an awesome name. You're a defensive lineman. Your name's Chop. Go get him.
But you can't block like that anymore.
But that is the... Oh, yeah, no chalk blocks. I like that. I'm actually very surprised that it took that long for that to happen. Wow, that is terrifying. We were on ESPN right now. They're showing some devastating pictures from Los Angeles. Those wildfires are just absolutely crazy. Oh. However, Kevin, that name is an honorable mention. Because Ladd McConkey is the coolest name.
That is a good one.
Who names their kid Ladd, for one, if they're not Scottish? Like, I feel like, is it Irish or Scottish? It's like, look at the lad over there.
It's Lassie. Scottish.
Scottish. It's not Scottish. It's crap. So that's the best name plus talent. And he also turned out to be fantastic receiver for them this year. Quentin Johnson,
shouted him out for the fantasy MVP.
Oh, yeah,
yesterday.
Really? Yeah, he... Quentin Johnston has kind of been a letdown, but kind of resurged a little bit. You know, he was a roller coaster. It felt like Ladd was the very big rookie surprise for them this year. The star to stay. And this is a guy that he leapt off the page, and I think we're going to have to deal with his crap for a long time.
Malik Nabers, right?
Malik Nabers.
Or Jaden Daniels, I guess.
Well, I'll get to him in a minute.
Okay.
Malik Nabers was easily... 10 catches a game, it feels like.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's just going to be the future. No matter who you put on him, you're not just going to shut him down. He's going to find a way to get his. So that was that one. Most underrated player this year. Who would you think? And I think once I say it, you're going to go, oh, of course, because of where he played.
Oh.
Nobody watches the Titans.
I was going to say the Giant. Okay.
Oh. Mike's team.
The Chiefs?
No, your
the
other
Jags.
Team. Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver.
He was good
this year. Yeah, he had his moments.
It took a minute to ramp up for him. His training camp wasn't great. Maybe it's
what about Malik Nabers?
Malik Nabers already got an award. He's the star to stay award.
Okay.
Is there a cap
for how many awards you can get?
One award?
I could, but...
I just need clarification.
Maybe these are the trophies that... Micah Parsons is talking
about.
Yeah,
that's the one. He's like, next year. Trophies.
Good point.
It's like that rated rookie trophy on the rookie card.
Yeah, the rookie cup. It's not really a rookie, but it makes you feel good.
Micah's going to win the best person with the first name Micah next year.
In your face, Micah Hyde.
Yeah, I don't know. With Malik Nabers, it was, he got on Sunday Night Football. He got on Thursday Night Football, and everybody was just like, they fell in love with him across the country when people that had watched him, like, for scouting purposes, that kind of already knew. But Brian Thomas Jr., on the Jaguars, it took a while for him to ramp up, and playing in a place that not a lot of people are paying attention to. And you didn't. Then you look at his numbers at the end of the year, and you're like, "Dadgum, man, he was really good this year." So he gets that. That's a future, man. You have a number one receiver for Trevor Lawrence there now, Mike. That is a number one receiver.
What's your ranking of dadgum? I kind of like that word.
I have that hat.
I know it's kind of two words. Is it one word or two words?
It's dadgum. So that's what my hat says. It's in the car right now, but I wear the dadgum hat, and it's D-A-G-G-U-M, I believe.
I don't think I use that word very much.
Do you think you should?
Probably.
I didn't think I used it that often until I said it the other day, and Adrian was like, "See, you do say it a lot." And I was like, "Dadgum, I do." Most outstanding.
That was funny.
And this is such a sellout on my part, because there's most outstanding and MVP.
Ooh.
And the most outstanding award goes to
the offensive Barkley. Player of the week of the year.
Sorry, Mike. Let me revisit. This is all rookies.
Maybe there's a Barkley who's a rookie.
That's a good point.
He's gambling here.
Yeah, I was gambling.
That's a fair point.
It's kind of a common name.
Most outstanding player.
Most
outstanding rookie is, for me, Brock Bowers.
He was very good.
And everybody knew that he's the guy. Like, we all were looking at Darnell Washington, and we were like, that is a big dude right there. But Brock Bowers is the best tight end there. And he goes from Georgia to the Raiders, where they basically have no quarterback. And he was able to put up all the numbers. Which, what happens whenever you don't really have a quarterback? The tight end benefits because he's the shortest distance from the quarterback to a reception. And so that did help them out a lot. But Brock Bowers is a monster, and he's going to continue to be for a long time. And the rookie MVP of the year for me,
Bo,
is Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels gets my rookie of the year.
Oh, don't know.
Would you take Bo over? Would he be yours over Jaden Daniels?
I would still take Jade.
Probably so. You're probably right.
Would you like? So he's y'all's overall rookie MVP this year?
For sure.
And it just seemed like early in the season, they said, "We're going to protect you." And they said, "Screw it. Let's open this thing up and see how it works." And it went really well for a while. And then it kind of got, okay, we're catching up to you. Now let's see how this thing does in the playoffs, because it could be a lot of fun.
It'll be interesting on how we feel about them after this weekend's over. Both quarterbacks.
Agreed.
And then would you give an award if we weren't doing rookies, but we were doing best second year players under 5'10"? Would you give it to Bryce Young?
It's a very specific award. I don't know what his competition
is. You know what? I like him expanding.
I'm now adding in cornerbacks and slot receivers, but like, I mean, I don't know. Like,
wouldn't it be at 5'9"? How tall is Puka Nakua?
He's like 7'8". Feels like
he's not.
He's a tall man.
He's way taller than that quarterback.
Okay, then he's out.
He's like, look at that pass. I was like, yeah, they created a seam for him, like 5 feet. Like, it's like the parting of the Red Sea. Finally, Bryce Young could see down the middle of the field.
And there are times like Drew Brees. There were times that he had to trust. You know, he's like, I know the feel of this throw. And
6'1", 6'2" on Puka, so he's out.
Oh, Puka's out.
He's out.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. Yeah,
Puka out.
I'll have to look into that.
Next year we will expand the category just for you, all right? And we'll have you on just for those moments. So we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I wanted to get to this story just because I think it's wild and crazy.
I congratulated Derek Holland during the show.
I congratulated him 2 days ago.
I know. That's why I told him. I said, I apologize for that. I think Kenny Rogers was better, and you'll have to live with that the rest of your life. Because I told him, congratulations.
That's what you said?
Well, I said, congratulations on a great career. I forgot to text you yesterday. You're one of the greatest left-handed pitchers in Rangers history.
And you were a pitcher that was left-handed in Rangers history.
I know. I told him. I said, you're better than me. I only have one win. But you don't have a son who could become a Ranger.
And he's lefty?
And I'm a son of a Texas Ranger, and I have two sons.
Can you imagine three generations of Bassics playing for the Rangers at some point?
Yes.
I'm in for it, man.
That'd be awesome.
I'm rooting for it all the way. Kevin, I'd have a story of crocodiles.
My middle child looks like he's going to have to Bryce Young it.
Never mind. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece. Good God.
Did you hear that?
He just shot his son down like that. It is
time. Do you talk crap to your son, too, about that?
A little bit.
It is time for the Thursday.
But I should show him Bryce Young, right?
If Bryce Young can make it. Cut his mic off real quick. It is time for the Thursday Failgate. We'll do it with Carter Freeman next to the fan.
Ready to take the snap. Has the snap. 4th and 13. Ewers looking. Fires. He's got Golden open. He caught it. Touchdown, Texas. Matthew Golden strikes again. 28 yards.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time for the Thursday Failgate, as Carter wants to call it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We usually do the Tuesday Tailgate, and now he wants to make fun of people with lisps. Your thoughts, Carter?
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday. Kevin, your thoughts on lisps? There are people,
too. I just thought that meant this segment was going to go bad.
Oh, why?
Because I just thought it sounded like Failgate.
Oh, you know what? It's not. That would be on a Friday, Kevin.
It'd be the Friday Failgate.
The Friday Failgate.
I have the first college football question of the day.
Get after
night.
It, baby.
Mike doesn't like this.
How good do you have to be to just call up your school for one of these bowl/playoff games and say, I need a field pass, and they just give it to you? Like LeVar Arrington got a field pass.
I mean, he's an iconic Penn State
Ricky
defender.
Williams, Vince Young.
Right. But when do you call and they say, we're sorry you weren't good enough?
Or they I don't think they say
yeah, I don't think they say
what
that.
Level? But you have to know, once you give them the phone call and they're not really responding with a here it is, that you've hit the line of you just weren't good enough.
So you think like Colt McCoy would easily get on the field, but maybe Shipley, his receiver, wouldn't? You think it maybe it's positional value matters too? And visibility, like if you're like a 3-time All-American, you're a Heisman winner, like you hit those certain benchmarks, like you'll be there. But
does it matter how you did in the NFL or not?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because like Colt McCoy was a career backup, but he could go anywhere in Austin and get his meal paid
like
for.
Like
that's
what I thought about Johnny Manziel. Be on the sideline if
yes.
he wants to be.
Yeah. And Johnny Manziel, because they're like, oh yeah, we love that person here. I can see that.
It took a decade to kind of, you know, rehabilitate that image, but yeah,
that's true.
He can come back now.
That was just a random question that I was thinking when I see some Jake Plummer, LeVar Arrington, you know, you see these former players on the sideline, and I was wondering, I wonder what the line is, the marker that you're not getting on the sideline. You weren't that great. You're good, but you weren't great.
See, I think you would be great at being in charge of that, Mike, because it feels like you'd have no problem telling them exactly why they can't be on the field. You'd be like, are you kidding me? You're not good enough.
Yeah, like Curtis Enos, sorry. You might have been picked high, but you stunk for the Bears.
So do you guys get the sense that outside of like natural home rooting interests, a lot of people are rooting for Notre Dame in this playoff? Or do you think that is entirely off base? Because I get it, like, I understand.
I think so, because yesterday I showed you a map yesterday. I said yesterday twice. I'm sorry. I got very excited.
But that surprised me a little bit, because I just know that Notre Dame is one of those teams that whether you think it's
team.
Yeah, that whether you think it's fair or not, some people inherently hate them.
I mean, they're the most iconic program in college football, would y'all say? I mean,
yeah,
I think you show
so.
Anyone the gold dome and the...
They know what you're talking about.
Touchdown Jesus. Like, there's so much with Notre
Rudy
Dame. That,
yeah.
People want programs that used to be good to be good. Notre Dame, Nebraska, for the last 10 years it was Texas. We've finally gotten back there. Like, when a lot of people think when those powerhouses are good, the sport is better. So now that you've actually seen Notre Dame win a big game, their first one in 30 years, yeah, I think people would want to see them carry on more than like Penn State.
But the first text we got was F Notre Dame.
Yeah, just, but you know, in a way, Penn State, was it 10 years ago approximately?
Yep.
Worst, one of the worst things I've ever heard of, ever.
And I feel like congratulations to them bouncing back so quickly from that. But also, did we not punish them enough? Because they shouldn't be bouncing back that quickly from doing what they did to kids.
No, I mean, they had, a 2-year bowl ban, I remember. And I'm sure they had scholarships docked and the school was fined. But it was Bill O'Brien as a coach they brought in after all that happened. And he did an incredible job of, you know,
it's like
letting them not turn into SMU.
Yeah, it's like both. Congratulations for overcoming, but also like maybe we should have punished them way more so it shouldn't have been so easy to overcome what they did.
That's a good point, because I find myself like it is tough to root for Penn State. I don't necessarily root against them.
Yeah.
But it is weird to be like, hey, go child molester school.
Yeah.
Like, that is tough.
Something they'll probably never shed.
Yeah.
And they just, whether that's right or not, that's just, it was such an, I remember I was in high school when that whole thing was unfolding. It was just such an awful, every little detail coming out. You just, it was like a train wreck. You couldn't look away. You had to, you know, just read about it. But, you know, if you're not, if you don't associate them with just that, you can watch them tonight and enjoy Tyler Warren, their tight end, who's going to be probably a top 15 pick. Drew Allar, has their quarterback, has
and
played a lot
back.
Better over. Yes, he will come back next year. over Penn State's last three games, he's looked kind of like the talent that everyone thought he would be. He was a five-star coming in, didn't have a lot of weapons before this season on the receiving side, but they finally picked some of them up. Tyler Warren's become a beast. They still have the two running backs. The offense has gotten a lot better.
Can number 11, is he healthy or no for Penn State?
He will play. He was supposed to be a game-time decision, Abdul Carter, but he will play tonight.
Okay, that's my main, like, if he's out, I think Notre Dame might win this thing by 10 points.
But since he's not.
Then maybe he goes out after, like, the thing is like, I'm going to give it a go, and it's not like a penalty. As in the NFL, you're like, dude, if we activate him and he misses after three plays, he's done for the game. That could hurt us as the game goes, because we could have had another linebacker activated. Mm-hmm. But I think in college football, what, you have only 720 kids activated for the game?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Because
A&M just brought a kid out of the stands one time and played him.
I don't know.
They needed him.
So everybody in the stadium is an active participant.
Don't think that's the case anymore.
You might still have college eligibility left. That is a hard word to say.
And I don't in baseball, because I hired an agent for it.
Okay. Yep. I get that. And then Jeremiah Love, good to go.
He should be. Now, I'm curious, when they beat Georgia, I thought more of Riley Leonard in that game than anything else. He had 80-something rushing yards. Not the greatest day passing the ball, but I still think it's going to revolve around Riley Leonard for Notre Dame. And I think he's playing at a certain level now. We saw him pass really well against Indiana, and we saw him end run well too, but he ran really well against Georgia. And I say what you want about Georgia and their offense, but I think their defense is still good, and Notre Dame was able to pretty much, especially in the final 10 minutes of that game, do whatever they wanted to salt the clock down to the point where Georgia, even if they got the ball back, there was no way they were going to have enough time to go down and score.
Speaking of Georgia, probably not a surprise that Jake Pope, the guy that Kirby Smart lit up for being a dumbass,
ESPN loves that guy,
went ahead and entered the transfer portal, right? Yeah,
transferred down to like Grandview State or, D2 school where you're not on TV. Because if you're ever on TV again, that is the only thing that the ESPN cameras are going to focus on.
I think it's UNLV, right?
Is that what
that's what I thought.
He already committed somewhere?
I believe that's correct.
Well, have fun being on CBS Sports Network next year, buddy.
Now,
with Larry Johnson.
That's maybe. And Stacey Augman and... So it's been a while for several of these teams since they won a title. Ohio State's the most recent.
A decade ago.
Exactly. And then you got to go back to 05 for Texas, 88 for Notre Dame, and 86 for Penn State. Do you think that influences people's rooting interest whatsoever?
I mean, you're three of these teams, because of the length of the time it's been since they've won a title, yes. Texas was there last year. They're the only holdover from the Final Four from last year's field. So maybe not as much with them. But yeah, and we're talking with Notre Dame. They're such an iconic program. Yeah, people would like to see that. And it is crazy that it's been since 1988, Lou Holtz. But they really have been, and Penn State too, have 100% been an also-ran. I mean, Penn State's won the Big Ten a couple times since they've been in it, but they're perennially below Ohio State. They're below Michigan most of the time. And even like a Michigan State or an Iowa, Wisconsin have passed them.
If it comes down to a kick, how confident can Texas be in Burt Auburn?
They can't be.
Yeah.
Why would they be?
Up until the last game. Like you felt very confident until then, right?
Some Texas fans up here, they were not the biggest fan of Auburn. He's made a lot of short field goals, apparently, but some of the ones from distance, Peyton Russell, I'll call him out, talking to him about it. He didn't have the most confidence in him. And then, just looking at the raw stats, he's one of the, highest scoring kickers in the school's history, if he's not the highest scoring. So I was like, well, what's the problem? And then it reared its ugly head in the final 5 minutes of that.
We've seen possibly future Hall of Famer Justin Tucker.
Yep.
His brain get fried for a month.
Another Texas guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a kid. I get it. They're considered adults. These are kids.
Yeah.
Can you imagine where his brain is at when he goes on to the field to possibly make a big field goal, to your point, from probably 35 yards or further? Maybe from like 30 yards, it's not as much of a pressure kick, but Dude, I think that they're in big trouble if this thing gets down to like the fourth quarter and they need a field goal by that kid.
Because it was a 40-plus yarder was the first one he missed.
Yeah, but and the second was like 33?
30, 35 maybe. So, okay. It was in mid-30s, yeah. So
that's why I'm saying kind of that 35 and further, he's probably just brain effing himself. Like, okay. I don't know how to. I couldn't think of another word.
It's amazing,
it's the real
though.
Word.
I get you.
It's amazing, though, how screwing 50 plus yard field goals in the NFL are like automatic now.
Exactly.
Like, it's boring. It's not fun to watch them attempt those long kicks because they just make it. But college is still, college kickers, it's always been a thing.
I think about that all the time. Why there isn't a college program, maybe not the elite of the elite, but a solid college program who's like, hey, when we recruit, we're going to have the best effing special teams you've ever seen. We're going to find the best kickers, the best punters, the best gunners. We're going to find the best of everything. And every time you play us, you're going to be like, ooh, like that team's tough.
I feel like some schools don't even have special teams coordinators.
It does feel like
they just don't, they just leave it up to chance. And I feel like with punters, we've figured it out because we go get 30-year-olds from Australia to come play college football and punt there. Like, Torrey Taylor with Iowa, who's now with the Bears. And then you a ton of, I feel like every other punter that I watch ends up being from Australia, played Australian rules football. But yeah, we just haven't figured out the kickers yet.
The question will come up for this game. It has, if they win, it'll come up again. What, if any, will we see from Arch Manning? Because I know obviously in the last one, they were like, meh.
Yeah, we how did we see him at all in that game?
I don't think so.
I watched the entire thing. I don't remember a second of him. And I've said the whole playoff that they should just stick with Ewers. I don't think you can bring a freshman into these moments.
Not even for gadget plays or whatever.
If they stuck with him throughout the entire Arizona State game, I think they'll stick with him throughout the entire Ohio State game. I don't see why they wouldn't. I think, especially with what Ewers showed you in the final, after that awful interception that he threw, he was nails for the rest of that game. You have to trust him that he can be that.
All right. Who we picking? Who y'all got for these semifinal games and then, I guess, for the championship?
I think it'll be Notre Dame in a close one and Ohio State in a 10-point to 20-point win.
That's what I'm going with, too.
I'm the same way. I don't see any way you stop Ohio State and the way they've been playing lately. And Notre Dame, I think Penn State can score, but I think Notre Dame's defense has been excellent, even losing players throughout this playoff. That the way how physical they were with Georgia really surprised me.
And obviously, this is not the way it always plays out. In fact, it's rarely the way it plays out. But if the Ohio State team plays the same way they did in the last game, and Texas plays the same way they did in the last game,
they're going to lose by 21.
They're going to get run off.
Yeah, they're going to lose by three scores.
I say Ryan Day says, screw you to all the Ohio State fans. I'm not giving y'all a chance at a championship. Y'all all wanted me fired, so I'm going to lose this game on purpose and let Texas win.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
If somebody gave you tickets to this game, Kevin, for tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'd go.
I go.
Would you root for Ohio State? Like,
absolutely.
Would you try to kind of, would you?
Do you have to root?
Where?
Yeah, just watch a
Ohio
game.
State gear?
Ooh, I don't know if I'd go that far.
This is a great question, actually.
Because I watched the quarterfinals with my older son, Brandon, who loves Texas, wants to go to Texas. And at one point, I kind of looked over at Jess because she cheered for the 4th-and-13 conversion. I just looked over and I shook my head no. She goes, what? He's right there. And I was like, that's fine. Just don't actively cheer for them. You don't have to cheer against them.
Yeah.
Just don't actively cheer for them. Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, what is it?
The Lumberjacks.
Yeah, she's in Austin. She should root for UT.
Austin, Nacogdoches. It's like the same thing.
Stephen F. was named, like the city Austin is named after Stephen F., right?
Okay. So you think that makes
sense? She went to Stephen F. Austin. They named a whole town after the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Root for him.
Mm-hmm.
My son got mad at me, too. I put the horns in his face when they did it.
You went to worst cover zero you've ever seen.
You were a Tech guy.
I root for Tech. I was rooting for SMU when they lost 72-0 to Penn State. I root for TCU when they lost 72-0 to Alabama. Was it Alabama?
Georgia,
whatever. One of those SEC schools.
Seriously, though, how did Arizona State go cover zero and get no pressure?
That was the worst blitz I've ever seen in my life.
That's okay.
They were on 4th-and-13. UT couldn't pass the ball for the previous three plays on that possession, and so they're like, you know what, we don't need to cover him anymore, they can't do anything. And guess what, they
Quinn
did something.
Ewer four tries and he'll eventually get it, I guess.
Yeah, when you send 20 people and they all get blocked.
Great.
That was impressive.
How about Quinn Ewers' last college football game will be against the team that recruited him and he signed with for $1 million?
What if I told you I don't know if it is his last game?
Oh, he's going to Florida next year?
Or somewhere.
All right. A&M.
Ohio State.
Kevin's calling for it.
Notre Dame is the odds-on favorite.
I wonder if he'll get the honest evaluation that you're not an NFL prospect.
Coming up next on the KNC Mash. Nice work. Thank you very much, Carter. Yes, we're looking forward to the Friday failgate. Up next on the KNC Masterpiece, it is time to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation on The Fan. We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, getting ready to go into this weather, Kevin, and see how it all goes. But before we do that, one man that's been through the weather, and then we have another bunch of guys that were like not dealing with it. Is the G-Bag Nation, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Terrific, Majors. How are you?
Look at that. We got that. Doing great right now. This is awesome. Got all the fellas. Get rolling here. We got Broadus in studio. Now, Kevin, would you like to go ahead and ask the question to all of them?
Yeah, so this got brought up because of Corey. He was talking about cologne, and I started thinking about it. Is there an item or a thing that you really like and you really use, but you don't really remember the last time you bought it? So, like,
I haven't bought cologne since, I'm going to be honest here, before 9/11 of 2001. And I still have two bottles that still have a little bit in it. And maybe once every 2 months, I might put on a spray.
Okay. So you like it, but you don't, I mean, yeah, I guess you do remember, but it's been a long time since you bought it.
I'm in the same boat, Mike. My mother-in-law got me a bottle of Lacoste about a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'd had it. And
that's
with
the alligator, right?
Yeah. And it's fantastic. And I was almost done. So I was like, I might as well. I was getting the boys some cologne. And then I picked one out and I was like, oh no, this smells like an old woman. So I made Adrian go find me a different one. And now I smell like a young woman. So I'm just not good with colognes right now. So, but that, I think that's one that you never really think about because it's just there. Kevin, you?
Oh, this was the part where they were supposed to answer.
Cologne's a good one. Okay. I don't know the last time that I ever bought cologne.
Mm-hmm.
Already seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Cologne. Yeah, maybe a little lotion. You know, I do like to have a good smelling lotion post shower. A post shower lotion is one of the better moments of the day. And then also the Gold Bond as well. Speaking of post shower,
I haven't had
to buy that in a while. You can get the large bottles of it these days.
That sure does. Cool. Yeah, lasts a while
and it's clutch.
Yeah, my mom and dad.
You know, a good medicated lotion. You know, that can treat dry skin on a week like this is pretty clutch for me, but I don't know if I've ever bought any. I just go find somebody that has some. Post oak wood for barbecuing. Oh. I like to buy a bunch of that, but I don't remember the last time I did.
Talking about
lotion. Still got some logs I'm working on.
I recently, I don't typically buy lotion either, but my foot's a little dry. My feet are a little dry. Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, I needed to get something. I went old school, and what my grandma always said was get Cornhuskers lotion. And I don't know if y'all ever used that before, but Nebraska's. That stuff, it is amazing. It is fantastic
stuff. The Lawrence
stuff.
Phillips.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that. No, actually, I shouldn't agree with you on that.
No, that's a bad idea.
You got one brought us?
Yeah, I think that for some reason, my family thinks that I love Old Spice body wash, and I think I've got 7 or 8 bottles sitting underneath my.
I do,
but it's
like
too
it.
Late if to want, say anything.
Yeah, but give, I just.
If you're giving it away, I'll take it.
Seriously, I mean, it's like I've got them all. I've got all the flavors of the body wash you can imagine because there's a certain kinds that.
Are you a bar? Are you a
no?
Bar soap
I,
guy?
I there's other brands that I use, but I just for some reason my family feels like that I love Old Spice body wash and it's
swagger.
It's the furthest thing from the truth.
Okay, I'm glad that you said that because Brandon continually gets Apple gift cards from a family member, and he's an Android guy. Okay. So now we've concocted the story that this time we're going to have to be like, oh, yeah, he got a new phone and stuff. He's an Android. Because we waited too long to bring it up.
Man, that's actually crazy, too, because I know my mom listens now, is what I've learned. Every year at Christmas, she would give me the Oreo cookies and cream Hershey bar. And
so good.
I am not a fan of white chocolate. I am a milk chocolate person or dark chocolate. I'm fine with that. But I never said anything to her. Yeah. I never said anything to her until I said it on air about 3 years ago. And since then, I've always gotten milk chocolate candy bar in the bag.
But you guys have never discussed it.
Never said anything to her, and I don't know if I offended her with this or if she just thought that, but now, you know, at least I'm getting what I want out of this, and that's a positive thing. That's what you're looking for is positive.
Well, sometimes you could say and they still do it.
I'm
fine. That's happening to me. Yeah. You could, hey, I've got plenty of enough of that body wash. Thanks. And then the next thing you know, it shows up, a couple of those red. And
here's you can what tell. You do. You take it and then you just cuss on Christmas morning and you slam it on the ground and you say, if anybody gets me one of these MFing things again, I'm going to kick your butt. And then everybody will be so scared of you that they will always remember, do not get Brian body wash.
I got a gift from my mom that I already had. And I gave it to Bennett as I was helping carry presents out to the car. I said, listen, man. He goes, did you like this? He goes, yeah, it's pretty cool. And I'm like, okay. It was a bucket hat. LSU bucket hat. And I said, yep, just flipped it over to him. And I go, play golf in that and fish. You know?
Mike, how are you at accepting gifts? Because you seem like a person who would be like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
90% of the time, I just do it great.
Okay.
There's every once in a while where I have it or I don't need this. I'll give you an example. You guys know now this was the opposite of getting a gift. This was giving a gift, and then my dad, I just got him some Bad Birdie golf shirts, and they were too small for him. And he gave them back to me. And I said, you can take them back and throw them in the trash or whatever. I don't care. I got them on sale and they're not returnable. So do whatever you want with them. So that was the opposite of getting a gift. I was just like, I don't, guess what? It was after watching a horrible ninth grade Bishop Lynch basketball game.
Mm.
And so I was just like, look, I don't give a crap. I'm not taking these back. Throw them in the trash. I don't care.
Yeah.
Is that what he did?
I don't know. I don't care what he did with them. I gave them right back to him. I said,
asked or anything.
I'm not taking these. And you could see my wife's response was like, you should be more cordial. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm being honest here.
Nah, it's par for the course. You're good.
Yeah. And I was just like, look, either throw them in the trash, go take them to the golf pro shop and see if they'll take them for some money or whatever so you can get something that fits you. I don't care, but I'm not taking these back in my car.
Well, you know, you got to appreciate Mike's honesty. Otherwise, you'll end up like Broadus next year because all of us are going to end up giving him a bottle of Old Spice Men's Body Wash.
I'll accept it and thank you guys and move on.
I mostly appreciate Mike's honesty, but every now and again, I'm on the wrong side of one of those honest moments. And I was like, dang. Kind of wish you'd have spared my feelings a little bit right then.
What do you guys got coming up on the show, Graham, today?
The only thing I like more than Mike's honesty is his Christmas spirit. You know, it's special. We do have a loaded show. I believe I just saw an email. Do we have Mike Sando at 4 o'clock, guys?
Is that no Sando. I don't. I think we're trying to effort Sando.
Damn,
maybe
Dawson, the one time you read the email, you got it wrong.
I think we got him booked. Did we get him for 4? Yeah, 4 o'clock. We got Stuart Mandel at 4:20. We got Gojo on the playoffs at 3 o'clock. But mystery guest at 5:20, guys.
I like it. So you're saying
what I want to draw your attention to? Yeah. I think the Tolos are going to like it.
It's going
to
be a good show.
Pure gold as always. Yes. Thanks for asking.
Fantastic. All right, you fellas, be great. Y'all stay safe. Good luck to everybody out there driving around. This is the G Bag Nation rolling up in your face. So get ready for it. Until then, you've been Masterpiece.